Welcome to the Arena Football Radio AF Nation podcast, our debut episode for the 2014 season and the 27th overall season for the Arena Football League. My name is Chris Hopkins, and I'll be your host. Joining me today will be correspondents Mikey Wansifer and Christy Rose, and later Connor Gomer will join us to talk about the Cleveland Gladiators. Today on the program, we will look at this upcoming week's matchups, as well as go over the tangled AFL playoff picture. And let's start with the most exciting game of the season, arguably Cleveland and Philadelphia. Shane Austin had a 47-yard Hail Mary as time expired, bounced off the hands of Rayshon Kaiser into the hopeful hands of Dominic Goodman. This was Cleveland's second straight last-second victory over Philly, if you remember their previous matchup. And again, they broke the hearts of Philly this week, as I said, with a last-second Hail Mary from Shane Austin to Dominic Goodman. Mikey, what were your thoughts on another last-second heroic from the Cardiac Kids in Cleveland?
I mean, well, Philadelphia has just really been unlucky, just having that happen to them twice against Cleveland. And it's a lot of luck, but it's also just a lot of clutch play from Shane Austin. I mean, he had a franchise record passing touchdowns in that game. I mean, he's a dark horse MVP candidate right now with the play that he's done, especially with the play he's done in late in games. And that was, you could say it's a lot of luck, but you have to start giving Cleveland credit for just winning on last second place this often.
Is it something in the water in Cleveland? What's going on there? Cardiac Kids. Yeah. It's not like we have Bernie Kosar under center. There we got Shane Austin this time.
Right, yeah. No, they're definitely pulling through in the clutch when they need to be. And, you know, Philadelphia's kind of going on a diverse route where they're just not doing what they need to do to finish the game. They've set themselves up for victories constantly, but they've lost 2 weeks in a row on consecutive last-second plays. So, I don't know. It's tough. But Cleveland's playing really well right now.
All right. And right now we're going to bring in our resident Cleveland expert, Connor Gomer, and he's going to give us his perspective on their upcoming matchup this week against Tampa Bay, who is also playing for a playoff spot themselves. If they win this week, they could take hold of the South Division and command the second seed in the American Conference playoff picture. Connor, how are you doing?
I'm good, Chris. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. So, just first off, how far do you see Cleveland going in the playoffs? What happens if they meet Pittsburgh? What's going on there?
Well, you know, I have to like their odds. The real challenge for Cleveland will definitely be Pittsburgh if they make it to the conference championship. I mean, you always hear a common phrase in football, you never want to play a team three times, but Cleveland and Pittsburgh may be meeting for a fourth time this year if they make it to the American Conference Finals. While Pittsburgh did give the Gladiators their first loss this year, Cleveland does hold the tiebreaker over Pittsburgh, so it seems likely that if these teams do meet, it will be in Cleveland, so Cleveland will have a little bit of an edge over Pittsburgh. However, Pittsburgh really hasn't had any trouble playing away this year.
Yeah.
They're 5-2 against when they're away, so honestly, I think it's going to come down to which quarterback can play better, and Tommy Grady and Shane Austin. Now, Tommy Graydon's been putting up some better numbers statistically in passing yards and passing touchdowns than Shane Austin, but I still like to give Cleveland the edge just because the way their defense has been playing and the way that their offense has been able to come out on top, even in dramatic last-second games.
All right, great stuff. Now, looking forward to this week, what are you looking for with the matchup between the Gladiators and the Storm? I mean, I was looking on the outside. You got Joe Hills against Mario Norman. I came across a number. Joe Hills has scored a touchdown in 31 straight games. And right now, the Storm are 5-0 since Randy Hibbert's return. So what's going to keep the Gladiators rolling against the Storm this week?
Well, I think you said it. The Gladiators got to keep Randy Hibbert under control. I mean, they're 5-0 since his return to the team, and both teams realize how important this game is for the rest of the season. Cleveland's trying to clinch home field advantage. Tampa Bay is trying to hold on to that 4 seed with Iowa and Philly nipping at their heels, and I think that both games realize how important it is for them, so it's going to be a fight, and it's going to get real physical.
All right, Connor. Thank you for all your insight about Cleveland, and we look forward to talking with you next week.
All right, thanks for having me on.
All right, and I just want to reiterate, if Tampa Bay wins this week, they would take hold of the South Division and move into the 2 seed in the American Conference playoff picture. And moving on, we're looking to a game of some teams that are struggling, but nonetheless are still in the playoff contention, New Orleans versus Portland. New Orleans last week lost to Jacksonville 13-54, They set a record for the fewest points they've scored at home, while Portland is coming off a bye. They lost in Week 14 to L.A., 69-61, but they are still right in the thick of it in the National Conference playoff picture. Mikey, what are you seeing going into this game this week?
Well, I see this as a golden opportunity for Portland to try to grab a playoff spot. If L.A. loses to Spokane, then they would grab a wild card playoff spot and they'd go against Arizona in the first round. So I see this as a golden shot for Portland to really make that playoff push. And they've struggled this season, but I see this as an opportunity for them to make up for what they've done. And Kyle Rowley, since he's been their starting quarterback, he's done 17 touchdowns to one interception. So they've had a lot of success with him at quarterback. So I see them kind of on the upswing, and this weekend gives them a tremendous opportunity against a struggling New Orleans squad.
Yeah, he's got some great weapons on the outside. Eric Rodgers, last week he caught, or their last game in Week 14, he had 10 receptions, 144 yards, 4 touchdowns, just caught a touchdown 8 straight games. Portland definitely has something clicking there. They're a young team, but I think they're starting to get stuff together. New Orleans, on the other hand, they've been ravished by injuries. It'll definitely be an interesting matchup, especially moving forward as Pittsburgh is fighting for that last playoff spot in the National Conference. As we move on, we look to one of the great AFL rivalries with Arizona and San Jose. Obviously, if you've followed the AFL for some time, you've known that they've had some great battles in the Arena Bowl and in the playoffs. And this year, nothing has changed. Two very competitive teams when they go up against each other. Arizona has won the last 3 matchups against San Jose, including the playoffs. Christy, what are you looking for going into this game?
Another big matchup. Both of these teams have clinched their playoff berths, but still a huge game. I look forward to seeing more of Davila performing as he always does. It'll be a good show.
Extended his pro football record of consecutive 100 touchdown seasons, hasn't hit the turf in 12 games. His offensive line has been unbelievable. And you always have those fun little connections between the two teams. Coach Guy was a defensive coordinator with San Jose from 06 to 07, winning an Arena Bowl with them in 07, as well as defensive back for the Arizona Rattlers, Marquise Floyd, who was on that team. San Jose was hoping to have Russ Micna back, but it's unlikely that he will return, but they're still relying on rookie quarterback Nathan Stanley, who's been playing superb. And he will have great playmakers on the outside, particularly Reggie Gray. We've got another great American Conference matchup as Pittsburgh travels to Florida to take on Jacksonville Sharks. Pittsburgh won last week and clinched the franchise's first ever playoff berth, but are still yet to have a win against the Sharks. Tommy Grady leads the American Conference in most passing statistical categories. Mikey, is Tommy Grady the best quarterback in the American Conference right now?
I really think he is, and he's also another dark horse for MVP candidate. I think you have to look with him, the weapons that he's had available to him. There's been a lot of injuries at the wide receiver position, but he's had Rodriguez as of lately, and he's been absolutely fantastic whenever he's played. He's been one of the best receivers in the league per game when he's been able to play. So kind of getting some health at the wide receiver position has definitely helped Tommy Grady a lot. And I think when you just assess the weapons that people have available to them, Davila in Arizona, and you see all the weapons he has compared to Tommy Grady, I think you could definitely look at him as an MVP candidate. And he also has that Pittsburgh defense backing him up, but that's a really a dangerous team come playoff time.
It's been impressive, especially with the revolving door of receivers that's been going on in Pittsburgh with Aaron Lasway down. Prashay Rodriguez hasn't been healthy the whole season. And Jacksonville, you know, they're a sneaky good team. They held New Orleans at 13 points last week, and consistently in the franchise's history, they've always had a competitive team. They're just kind of in a down year this year, but don't put it past R.J. Archer and those receivers on the outside. Looking to Philly and Iowa, both teams need this win. Seemingly, the loser of this game will be eliminated from playoff contention in this difficult East Division and difficult American Conference. Christy, what do you see with this? Philly, they're just having trouble closing these games, obviously. They've had some heartbreakers. So what do you see with Philly? Can Iowa stop them?
Well, Philadelphia is actually 4-0 all-time versus Iowa, which is kind of interesting. So this is hopefully a game to get Philadelphia back on the right track. Iowa's still kind of shuffling around a quarterback, so we'll see. It's going to be a big game for both of them. I think Philadelphia can come out strong, but it's all going to depend on closing the game now.
Do you think the Philadelphia defensive backs can shut down Darius Reynolds and Marco Thomas?
That's tough. The two of the best receivers in the league right now, I think 1 and 3.
In receiving yards, yeah. They're in the top 10 in all receiving statistical categories, which
right.
is very impressive.
Very impressive. And Philadelphia has struggled with that a bit. So that'll definitely be an interesting matchup this week.
We'll have to see if the Philly offensive line can hold back Mike Lewis and keep Dan Rodabaugh off the turf. Now, the last game of the Week 16 schedule. We have Spokane traveling to L.A. You've got you got a lot of storylines here. Eric Meyer, last time they played L.A., that's when he went down at the injury with the shoulder injury. And the man who actually hit him was Bo Bell, his former roommate, when they played in Spokane together. You've got two of the best defensive players in the league right now, Bo Bell and James Ruffin, who lead the league in sacks. Christy, I know you're working on a story this week kind of about the Eric Meyer-Bo Bell connection, former Spokane teammates, like I said, former roommates.
Mm-hmm.
Bell knocked him out last game.
Yep.
Hopefully Meyer's probably coming for a little bit of revenge. What's going on with that?
They're both really good friends, really close. They keep in touch. I know following the injury, they kind of reached out to each other, but they've since moved on, say it's football. They're ready to get back on the turf. But they do go way back. Bell's played 3 seasons in Spokane.
He did.
And he had career numbers there, so they're both just looking forward to this week to get back to winning.
How has Meyer looked since he's returned? Because he came back 2 weeks ago, but he came off the bench behind
mm-hmm.
Brian Zbuduski started then. So how is he looking?
Huge
Any
game
rust?
Last week. He I think they won 70-30, and he had 6 touchdowns, 3 rushing, 3 passing. So he says he's back at 100%, excited to get back on the field.
And I made mention to it earlier, you've got 2 Defensive Player of the Year candidates in this game with James Ruffin and Bo Bell. Each lead the league in sacks. Bo Bell's kind of tapered off since the beginning of the year, but he still has recorded 11.5 sacks, 49.5 tackles. He's basically the heart and soul of that LA Kiss defense, arguably their team. It'll be an interesting matchup. Spokane, if they win that week, they will clinch a playoff berth. And interesting enough, LA traded for LJ Castile from New Orleans, and he spent some time with his now teammate Donovan Morgan when they were in New Orleans. Now, looking forward into the playoff picture, right now we have 4 teams who have clinched. You have Arizona, who's clinched home field advantage throughout the National Conference playoffs. You have San Jose, who's clinched the playoff berth. Then in the American Conference, no seeding has been set yet, but you have Cleveland and Pittsburgh who have clinched. And then going into this week, I made mention to it earlier, Tampa Bay can take hold of the South Division over Orlando, as Orlando has a bye, and Tampa is currently on a 5-game winning streak. And if the Portland Thunder win and the LA Kiss lose in Week 16, the Thunder would overtake the number 4 seed going into the National Conference playoffs. So right now, Mike, who do you see as a pretender and who do you see as a contender in the playoffs?
Well, I think we have that clear big 3 with Cleveland and Arizona and Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And I think it's really going to come down to who's going to make it out of those matchups. Pittsburgh has a tremendous defense. I think it's really interesting that their 3 teams are very different stylistically. There's a lot of defense with Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Then Arizona's, of course, all about the offense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it will be a really interesting matchup. Pittsburgh, I think, is a dark horse team just because they force a lot of turnovers. That's something I wrote about last week. They force the most turnovers in the league, and that's huge with the 50-yard field, just being able to change field position so quickly. So I think those big 3 teams are the ones that really separate it, and every other team is kind of far off from those 3.
How do you like San Jose's chances right now? Obviously, Russ Mikno's been hurt, but Nathan Stanley has filled in admirably. Right now, they're arguably the toughest competition Arizona's going to have in the National Conference playoffs. Do you see them possibly knocking off Arizona and then going on a little bit of a run themselves?
I think Stanley's played very well. He hasn't looked like a rookie while he's played, so I think that really hasn't affected them too much with Russ Mikno being gone. They have a talented receiving core with Reggie Gray, and just if he could stay healthy and really have them with Rod Harper, I think they have a tremendous receiving core. And with them, it's also all about their defense. And I think that's going to be it's really the most interesting matchup this week against Arizona to see if San Jose in San Jose could knock off Arizona and end their winning streak.
Yeah, the ageless wonder, Cleveland Thomas. Man,
Thomas just
played
amazing.
Forever. He's an Iron
secondary.
Man, yeah.
Yeah, just so many interceptions. He's been great for them. I really don't know when he'll ever stop being so great in the secondary. So I think San Jose is always dangerous with their defense, and that Stanley's actually been able to keep the offense going even as a rookie quarterback.
Christy, the South Division has been the one division that's been the most up for grabs this whole season. Right now, Tampa Bay had a little bit of a lull in the middle of the season. Hipper went down. He came back to kind of refining their form. They came out of the gates well earlier in the season. And right now it's kind of a battle between some old powerhouses, Tampa Bay and Orlando, for the South Division. Who do you think is going to capture that by the end of the season?
I'm kind of leaning towards Tampa Bay right now. But Orlando has been kind of quietly pretty good, pretty consistent. So I'm still going to go with Tampa Bay. Though Orlando definitely still poses a threat.
All right. They play Cleveland, like we said, this week. I mean, they have a tough rest of their schedule. They go at Cleveland, at San Jose, at Spokane, Cleveland at home to finish the season.
It's going to be rough.
That's a tough stretch right there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's murder's row right there. All right, now moving on after the playoff picture, I want to talk with Mikey about the story that he was working on this week. He was working on in lead up to the San Jose and Arizona game. Reggie Gray, he was flying from the funeral of his grandmother, got to the game. And Arizona's quarterback, Nick Davila, lost his father this year. Mikey, what did you find out about all of this, the kind of the emotional toll it's taken on these two players?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that they're playing each other this week, because in week 12 when they last played was when Davila had to play the day after his father passed away. And when I talked to him, I mean, he just said it was something that his father would have liked him to do, and it was kind of something that took his mind off of the situation, and just the words he used was that it was a release, and he kind of got to be a kid again and just play football and have fun out there. And really, he just showed so much confidence when he got brought in the third quarter. He ended up having as many touchdowns as incompletions, and really, they might have not been able to win that game if he hadn't been brought off the bench. And then Reggie Gray was a really wild situation. He told me he really didn't get there until about 6:10, and he actually flew into Oakland because that was the only scenario where he could see he'd still be able to play. So he had to drive basically an hour to get to San Jose as fast as possible. And then he was able to play in the game. He didn't even warm up at all.
Coaches weren't even expecting him to be there.
Yeah,
they game planned for him not even being there.
Yeah, because he didn't even warm up at all. He told me he didn't go through any of the normal pregame routines that he has. He had to just really jump in the game. And he also told me that he was really tired during the game.
Yeah.
He could, like, barely even feel his legs because he was, like, traveling all day. He went on the plane, went straight to drive over there. So he was completely exhausted, and he still managed to have a 42-yard touchdown catch that gave him the lead right before halftime.
Oh, he had a great game.
Yeah. He still said he was kind of hard on himself. He didn't really think he had a great game, but he still had 65 yards and a touchdown, which I think is more than a lot of players would be able to do given the situation he was in. And that's not even including the emotional burden of his grandmother passing away,
who
he said was like a mother.
Yeah, I was going to say he was very close to the grandmother. And, I mean, Davila's performance, it brings the memory. I know our producer Bijo appreciated Brett Favre's game on Monday night after his father passed away. And I mean, great quarterbacks and great moments always rise above, and especially, you know, an emotional toll. It's whether the emotions either eat you or you kind of play above it. And obviously, great players like Davila and Reggie Gray play above it. Thank you for joining us on our debut episode of Arena Football Radio AF Nation Podcast. I want to thank our correspondents, Mikey Wansifer, Christy Rose, and Connor Gomer for their great insights. And make sure to tune in to our Week 16 matchups. The two nationally televised games will be Pittsburgh at Jacksonville, which will air on Saturday at 7 o'clock Eastern on CBS Sports Network. And also Spokane, LA, which will also be on Saturday at 10 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. Thank you again for listening, and we hope that you tune in next week.